I am so blessed already by our worship team. Thank you. As you guys find a seat, thank you. I'm blessed by you guys. It's been an incredible morning, and our time's running away on us, but you know what? We've got an incredible, informative, powerful thing to talk about this morning as we begin the sermon series called Ever Present. And we acknowledge that God is ever present in our world and in our lives, right? Not just in our world generally, but in our lives specifically. And I want to start off this morning by asking you a question. It's a question you, I know it. You've been asked it before, but you maybe have not been asked it in a long, long time. Like since you were maybe 5 or 6, okay? But it's a good question. If you were a superhero and you could choose to have one superpower of your choosing, what would be your superpower? Anyone?
Super speed.
Super speed, right? Like the Flash. Yeah. There's lots of options, right? For me, I remember clearly there was the top three, right? Flying, my goodness, right? Yeah, you gotta fly. If you choose to fly, fly, right? Super strength, right? Crush, right? But my other one was always invisibility. Wouldn't it be really cool to be invisible? You could do a lot of amazing things when you're invisible, okay? But invisibility, I'm sure, comes with its bad side, because sometimes things invisible can be forgotten about or neglected because no one can see you. You're invisible. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And if the truth be known, in most Christian circles, in most circles completely maybe, the Holy Spirit is most overlooked and the least talked about person of the Holy Trinity, right? Now, if you've never heard that term before, the Trinity, tri-unity, three things in one, the Bible never uses the word Trinity, but clearly it is revealed to us in Scripture that God eternally exists in three beings, okay? Not persons, God's not a person, right? But three beings, three eternally exists as three persons, beings, who are one. Okay? Are you confused yet? Don't worry. Okay, we've just started. That's okay. We won't have time during this series to delve into the huge mysteries of God and the Trinity and everything, but we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I already said, talked about John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, that if you would believe, you'd have everlasting life, right? God the Father sent God the Son, right? But what about the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit is the power and presence of God at work in our world and in our lives. The Holy Spirit is often overlooked, ignored, dismissed, denied, but nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is God's powerful presence ever at work in our world and in our lives. This is a truth that we're going to be digging into over the next couple of weeks, okay? So let's turn to a passage of Scripture where we do hear about the Holy Spirit very clearly, and it comes from the words of Jesus, which really helps, okay? John chapter 14, we're going to start at verse 15. So if you got your Bibles, turn there. If you don't have your Bibles or you don't have it on your phone, you can follow along on the screen. It's behind me here, okay? I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning, okay? Let's dig in, okay? Jesus says, remember in my Bible, these are in red. These letters are in red, right? Which means Jesus is speaking this to his disciples, okay? The cross is before him, okay? We're in John chapter 14. The cross is before him. The crucifixion is coming, okay? And then the resurrection, that's in John 20, okay? But this is preparation for the cross. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he speaks about the Holy Spirit. This is really important stuff, okay? Let's read, right? Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Okay, I'm going to pause there just for a second because you see clearly the revelation of the Trinity, right? I, the Son, Jesus, will ask the Father, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. Okay? Trinity. God, three in one, working. Okay? And notice as Jesus starts talking to his disciples at this crucial, crucial time, he begins by talking about love. If you love me, obey my commands. You see, we can never forget as Christians that in the heart of the gospel, love always leads. Okay? It's why when Jesus was asked by a teacher of the law, Jesus, tell us, what is the most important commandment? If there's only one rule, right, that I need to follow in my life, what would be the one rule I need to make sure I obey, right? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then Jesus says, and you know what the second one would be? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love always leads. Turn to the next slide here. Look at our mission statement as a church. Love God. Love others. Change the world. Love always leads. When we do the first, when we love God, that helps us to love others the way that they should be loved, right? And when we do the first and when we do the second, we accomplish the third. We change the world. One life at a time, by love. The love of God through us, working in the world. Our mission statement's pretty cool. I love it, okay? Let's move on with the passage, okay? Next slide. Let's keep reading, okay? Because we got to talk about the Holy Spirit, don't we? Okay. So Jesus says, I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him. He's talking to his disciples, believers, right? You know him because he lives with you now, his presence, and later will be in you, later the Holy Spirit. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live, right? The cross, the resurrection, we all see it clearly. The disciples, this might have been a little heavy, but okay. Verse 20, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commands and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Okay, there's a lot in here. I'm going to pull three things that Jesus reveals to us about the Holy Spirit and kind of expand on them a little bit in the short time that we have left, okay? The first is this. The Holy Spirit is God's constant presence at work all around us. We've talked about this a bit, okay? But in verse 16, Jesus says, God will give you another, my translation says advocate. The New Living Translation says advocate, who will never leave you, okay? Other translations use other words, counselor, comforter, companion, but the emphasis is on will never leave you, okay? So Jesus reveals a Holy Spirit will never leave his disciples. Now, this is something very practical when you consider the timeline of what's about to happen, right? Again, looking back, we have some clarity. The disciples in the moment didn't have the clarity, but think about this. Jesus is saying, we'll never leave you. Jesus is about to be arrested. He's about to be crucified and die on a cross. And his disciples will be devastated. You see, the disciples walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They loved Jesus. They gave their life to Jesus. And then he dies on the cross. And they are devastated. He has left them. He is gone. He is no longer with them. What have the last 3 years been about? Gone? Is he gone? He's really gone. What do we do now? Okay? Resurrection. John chapter 20. Oh, he's back. I knew it. He would never leave us. That's great. Jesus, you're back. This is amazing. Thomas, come here. Touch his side. See everything. He's alive. This is amazing. Jesus is alive. Death's not even going to stop him. He is forever going to be with us. Jesus says, no. I've got to return to my Father. I have to go to heaven. And he sends, he leaves them. What? Jesus is saying, actually, if you read further in the 16th chapter of John, Jesus says, it's better for you if I go. Because then the Spirit will come and the Spirit will never, never leave you. Okay? Now, think about this. We talked about it a bit last week when we talked about God being our refuge, that God dwells with his people. He's always been with us. God is ever present. Okay? But at certain times, the way in which God has dwelt with his people has been different, okay? It was in the temple. Remember the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was in Jerusalem, the city of God, okay? But then Jesus came. Oh my goodness, Jesus came. God in human flesh. He walked with us. He talked with us. Jesus, never before had God been so tangible, so touchable, so listenable, so present. God took on human form and walked among us. Philippians chapter 2 says that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself, taking the very nature of a servant and became a human, took on limitations of a human being. You see, and this is where my point comes in, okay, where Jesus says, it's better for you if I go. It's amazing that God came and dwelt in bodily form in the person of Jesus. That's why how we have salvation. Because Jesus took our sin as a man, fully God, fully man, took the sin upon his shoulders, paid the price for us, okay? But Jesus came with limitations. Jesus could not be in Jerusalem at the same time he was in Bethlehem. He could not be in Bethlehem if he was in Egypt. He had human limitations. Even though he was God, fully God, in man, you know, did all these miracles, but he accomplished his purpose. But the Holy Spirit is the presence of God unbound, unleashed, without limitation, at work in your life and in the world. Not greater than Jesus, just different. Another advocate, another companion, like me, still God. But I had to take on limitations. It's better if I go, because God the Father will send the Holy Spirit and his presence will be fully unleashed everywhere through the Holy Spirit. Amazing, okay? God is constant. He's always at work in our world. I know that God can be hard to see sometimes in a broken world, but nevertheless, it's true. How many times do we explain away the presence of God in our world? The beauty of nature all around us. You've done that where a sunrise or a sunset where you're just like, oh my goodness, this is gorgeous. We can know it by science. It's the ball of gas. There's planets way up there. It's water, hydrogen and oxygen, you know. We can know it by science, but it's more than science. It's God at work. You know, you're having a bad day. You're feeling broken. You're feeling alone. You're feeling discouraged. And a stranger gives you a smile. Maybe a friend sends you an email. Or your own kid draws you some kind of a picture that's supposed to be you on a piece of paper, but looks more like a spider. But something happens in your day that lifts you up. It can be explained away. It's just an email. It's just a smile from a stranger. It's just my kid scribbling on a paper. But it's more than that. It's God with us. It sounds a little bit crazy, doesn't it? But it's not crazy to see God at work in absolutely everything. Do you know why? Because every time a moment of redemption comes in this broken world, every single time light shines in the darkness, every time something good comes out of something bad, every time a hurt is healed, every time a lie is overcome, every time the oppressed are set free, every time hope shines in the darkness, every time an illness, no matter how small or big, is overcome, right? Did you guys get the Corkodakis' update that Michael is cancer-free and going through maintenance treatments only? Like, praise God, right? Every time those things happen in our world. We can explain it away. We can rationalize it away. We can steal the glory. We can take the credit. We can discount his presence. But anytime redemption happens in our world, it is God at work. Yes. I don't care if you believe in God or not. I mean, of course I care if you believe in him. But even if you don't believe in God, it doesn't change the truth that God is at work all around you. That's what I mean. All good things happen in your life. If you're an unbeliever listening to this morning, or if you're an unbeliever listening in a podcast, you know, tomorrow or 10 years from now, or somehow this gets broadcast, I don't know when, I don't care. But if you're listening, anytime something good happens in your life and in your world, that comes from God. Do you know what James 1:17 says? Every good and perfect gift comes from God above from God above, who does not change like shifting shadows. How much stronger would our faith be if we could just learn to embrace and see God more clearly in every little thing in our world? Because he's there. Okay? Whew, let's move on. We got to move on. Jesus also says the Holy Spirit is God's presence revealing truth about the world and ourselves. Verse 17, right? This advocate, this other, will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. We've already kind of talked about this, but Jesus then talks about two groups of people, essentially. He talks about the world, right? The world doesn't receive him. The world doesn't accept him because the world doesn't see him. But you, believers who have seen me, who know me, who believe in me, you have seen him. You can believe. Okay? Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, says, people who aren't spiritual cannot receive God's truth. It sounds like foolishness to them, and they cannot understand it. This is the world. But Paul also says that those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means, right? God's truth is all around us. But we need the Spirit to help lead us into all truth. I did my undergrad degree in two post-secondary institutions. One was Trinity Western University out in British Columbia. It's a Christian liberal arts school, and I took biology classes out there. And in biology, we prayed before class, and we talked about the wonder of God in everything that God has made, down to the smallest cell. I transferred and finished my degree. I actually got my degree in religion and culture from Wilfrid Laurier University. And at Wilfrid Laurier, I had a religion professor who had read the Bible countless times. He knew exactly what it said. He could quote it for you. But he did not know that God loved him so much that he sent his son to die for him and to forgive his sins. In seminary, I had a professor who's with the Lord now, Howard Hendricks. His famous line he said to every first-year student in hermeneutics, how to study your Bible, was, it does not matter how many times you have been through the Bible. What matters is how many times the Bible has been through you. Okay? The Spirit is the one that brings us all understanding and all truth. What's the difference between what the world sees and what the believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit sees? Nothing, really. A starry sky is still a starry sky. But what's the difference? Truth. Truth is the difference. And the Holy Spirit is the presence of God that reveals truth to us about our world and about us, right? Not just about the starry skies, but about you, about me. There is truth about you. But you see, when the world tells you that you don't look the right way to be loved, God says, I made you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. And you're perfect just the way you are. And I love you. When the world says you aren't enough, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not talented enough, God says you are gifted and special, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And you're going to change the world in my name. When the world tells you that there's no hope and no future and there's nothing beyond simply skin and bone, God says, I have prepared a way for you to know life as I intended. In flesh and in bone, but more than that, in spirit and in truth. So what do you believe about the world around you? What do you believe about yourself? How well do you see God at work around you? How well do you hear his voice speaking truth into your life? God's truth comes through believing in Jesus and by receiving the Holy Spirit and having our eyes opened, not just to reality. Everybody sees reality. But only the Holy Spirit helps us to see truth in that reality. Lastly, the Holy Spirit is God's unifying presence that transforms our lives. Verse 20, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I'm in you. There's a lot of people and other people in this verse, okay? But here's the gist of it. Just as God and Jesus are united eternally in relationship, so are we united to God through our belief and faith in Jesus. As believers, God's Spirit indwells us, and we are united with God through the righteousness of Christ. Let's be clear on this, okay? We do not become a part of God. No. We do not even become like God. No. But we are united eternally to God in relationship, in togetherness, because of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us, encourages us, and enables us to live the life we're called to in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay? One more thing from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to these verses. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Transformation. Through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Transformation does not come by sheer human effort. It cannot, it never will. But it does come through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. It comes when we do not resist, deny, overlook, or ignore the Holy Spirit that indwells us. It comes when we say, when we, as Paul says in Galatians 5:25, keep in step with the Spirit, okay? Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives, Paul says. It's like a dance. It's a two-step, right? And the two steps is one, you choose to let love lead. You have to turn to Christ first. You have to receive the love of God. Step two, obey his commands. Follow him. Let the Spirit transform you to be like Christ. Let's rewind to the first verse we read this morning. That was a good rewind sound, wasn't it? Okay. Look what Jesus says in verse 15. If you love me, step one, obey my commandments, step two. Experience transformation and reflect the glory of God in your life. Okay? That blows my mind. I know I'm out of time, but I have to say this. I skipped over it earlier, but I have to say this. The thing that blows, when he talks about the Spirit of God bringing freedom, it's not freedom from experiencing the brokenness of the world. It's not freedom from experiencing hurt and pain and loneliness. We still feel those things, okay? But it is power, it is freedom from punishment. It's freedom from the condemnation of sin, right? And that's an easy part for me to grasp, right? That Jesus, through Jesus, I can have my punishment paid for. I can be made right with God. That's actually an easy part for me to accept. But that freedom has a second part to it. Because in that verse from 2 Corinthians, it said we are free to then reflect the glory of God. What? My life can reflect the glory of God. Me, broken me, imperfect me, I am free to reflect the glory of God. That doesn't happen because of me, folks. It doesn't happen because of you. It happens because of the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Okay? That's what we're talking about when we choose to love, let love lead, and we choose to obey his commands. Okay, worship team, you guys need to come up, all right? I'm going to close with this, right? God is the greatest superhero we could ever know, right? He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's forever defeated evil. He's forever brought hope and freedom and salvation to the world. Some would say he's invisible. Some would even say he's silent. But for those who have eyes to see and those who have ears to hear, for those who believe in Jesus and are filled with the power of his Spirit, God is ever present and ever working in the world and in our lives. He is not invisible. He is reflected in every good and perfect thing that we can ever see, smell, touch, taste, and hear. He's there. And God is not silent. His voice thunders and roars with the power of undeniable truth. We're going to sing one last song as we respond. You might respond in a number of different ways today. You just might need some time to decompress, okay? There's a prayer room. You can pray. You can pray silently. If you've been wondering about believing in Jesus, and this all sounds wonderful but too good to be true, it's not. Go to the prayer room. Talk to someone after the service. Receive Christ today. Be saved. It's the best decision you could ever make, okay? You might respond that way. But right now, we're going to respond through song. And I'm just going to say a prayer. The song is called Breathe In Us. Is that what it's called?
Breathe On Us.
Breathe On Us. Yeah. Okay? Breathe On Us. Okay? Asking God to awaken us, to breathe that life into us once again through his Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's pray, and then you guys can just transition right in. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus our Savior, Holy Spirit, our advocate, pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would make us more aware of your presence in our world, in our lives. And as we become more aware of your presence and your power in our lives, may we be more transformed each and every moment by your power within us to reflect your glory, because this world needs to see your glory. Like a rushing wind, send your Spirit here and breathe on us. Amen.